I had the privilege yesterday, to give some sessions for mechanchim, chanchois, both separate. Very, you know, well-known choshuva schools, and pretty much with whatever time was allocated, spoke about the same concepts, the same ideas, and of course I now bill it under one word, and that's called validation. I'm not sure whether they like the word or they don't like the word, but that's not the point right now. And one of the points that I speak about is the recognizing and appreciating and being goyrus and even answering people's questions. You know, it's extremely important. It's very, very insulting to a person when he asks a question and nothing is made of it. You know, it's not even worthy of an answer, which really means I'm not even worthy of asking a question. And I, you know, I shared with them a statement which I'm sure I've referred to here. It's a famous statement. I'm going to say in English, although I'm not going to say what language it was spoken in, where someone asked a question, and he was told by his teacher, that's not even a stupid question. And this kid, Kol HaKavod, got a lot of respect for this kid. 10 minutes later, he asked another question. And he was told, now you're asking a stupid question. So he's getting, you know, that was a compliment. He's making progress, so... Anyway, so I spoke a lot about this and how, you know, you don't have to know the answer to every question, but you have to take it seriously. Sometimes if you don't know the answer, and if it's a good question, you say it's a very good question. So already, they don't even care that you don't know the answer because I asked a good question. That in itself feels very good. And if it's such a good question, you have a right to say, I don't know, and I'll go home, but you got to go home and find out. You got to consult with somebody. You got to do research. You got to take it seriously, and you got to remember to come back because... This question represents the person's image of himself. And if my question, I mean, it's one thing not to be able to know answers. It's another thing not even to be able to ask a valid question. How stupid can I be that I can't even ask a good question? So it's a serious issue. And this was in both schools, one was actually during, come to think of it, but one was after I finished speaking. A teacher comes over to me, both, you know, two separate situations, obviously, and starts to talk about the kid that's looking for trouble, the kid that's being antagonistic, the kid that's out to get you, the kid that's looking to undermine everything that you're teaching, the kid that's looking to send waves of kfirah into the whole classroom and to shake everybody up and to, or maybe even to ridicule you or to I mean, and the extent of chutzpah and the extent of inappropriateness and the extent of this and that. And I got the same speech from, I mean, similar, but from both of these teachers. So I realized that this, number one, is a serious problem. It wasn't just coincidental that, you know, both people, two people in different situations here reacted the same way. And I know that there is such a thing. And I thought, therefore, we have to talk a little bit and strategize about, you know, how you deal with and how you diffuse such situations. But let's first analyze what such situations mean. You know, if somebody
What's
is...
What?
If some the questions that are asked that are either out to get you, out to get the teacher, in other words, just to disprove, to discredit everything that the teacher is saying, or to ask like kfira questions, you know, just wow, how do you know this and when it's not true? What are you talking about? You know, this kind of thing, denial or apikursis, or you know, and we get these.
Inherently a bad kid.
What? I don't know the kid, but... No, we're not talking about the sincere ones. Because it's... Yeah, either one is, whether it's Litzonis, or Rishis, or ridicule, or hatred, or... But we're not talking... The sincere ones, a sincere question is relatively easy to deal with. A sincere question, because these teachers would not be averse to saying to a sincere question, that's a good question, I hear what you're saying, I understand what you're coming from, I may not agree with you, and if I think it's appropriate, I could discuss it in front of the class. If I don't know the answer, I could say I'll have to think about it or do some research. If I think it's inappropriate, I could say, listen, I'd be happy to discuss that with you after class or tomorrow or whatever, in private. So there are ways to deal with that.
There would be a problem that a teacher could think it's a sincere question and
Well, yes, you're getting more advanced than us. You're on the next level. All right, this is 101. This is the first level. So, but on the first level, this is there definitely is such a thing. And I saw from the passion, mamish passion, in both of these teachers that this is a real problem and a personal issue, and it's happened to them before. And I just add, it didn't happen during the summer, most likely, because they were off for the summer. So the passion has survived the vacation, and they're still just as passionate about it. That it's like, you know, you can't tell it. How do you work? You know, okay. So I think that we have to. This is something that everybody is exposed to. Everybody has such experiences, certainly in a junior high school classroom. I'm not sure. Today, probably anything you have in a junior high school class, you have in an elementary school classroom too, you know, because those kids are already, today, by the way, you're up against some other things as well because of the extensive internet access that people have. They look up things and they get ideas, and because of the freedom of some of these sites or whatever they're called, that anybody can write anything they want, they have a lot of misinformation, they have a lot of things, you know, es steht geschrieben, it's written right here in where? In no place, you know what I mean? In the clouds. But so there are a lot of problems, a lot of opposition. So what can we do to deal with this? Okay, so number one, and I just want to talk a little bit about this. I don't know if we'll finish the topic, but number one, it's kedai for every teacher from the get-go to get everybody on your side. Because if we're on the same team, it's much less likely that I'm going to want to do anything to hurt you. I may have a problem, but even if I have a problem, I might even not ask the question except in private, because I know that this question is going to be painful or difficult or confusing or provocative, and therefore...
Do you think these questions shouldn't be asked publicly?
Shouldn't, yeah, of course. What?
Why? If it's legitimate, like you're saying...
Well, no.
So why not?
If it's legitimate, I'll tell you why. That's a good question. That's the first way you deal with questions here. It's a good question. But I'll tell you, but I think the answer is as follows. Not everybody is holding in the same place. Okay? And sometimes something that bothers a person may not be bothering other people. And there are times and there are issues that we don't want to confuse people, especially if we're talking about kids in a classroom. We're not talking about mature adults who are completely intellectually developed and understand and know everything. You know, what are you looking around the room? They're looking to see who I'm talking about. You know, but we're talking about kids. You know, kids are very impressionable. Sometimes the first impressions are the very most, you know, the lasting ones. And this kid is an innocent kid. It's like, you know, the thing you can relate to the best. They start talking about co-ed things, you know, social things like that. To a kid, never even noticed there were girls in the world. You know what I mean? This kid is no shyness, you know. He's 3 years behind in his social development for the... So, what are you doing? What are you, in due time you'll educate him. Don't worry. You know, in due time you'll mess him. I mean, you'll educate him. Okay? but right now, today, you know, so sometimes it's not appropriate to do that. And then sometimes in complex issues, even if people may have similar issues, or they could be ready for similar issues, people understand things differently. And a statement that's made publicly on a difficult issue when you didn't lechatchila plan to do it and do it with or in an organized fashion and do it in a researched fashion and really come with your best arguments and your best presentation, you may be hurting people in the process. The one that you're talking to, you have to respond because he has a question. You can't ignore a question. You know what I mean? But so this is why I think it's not necessarily always the way to do it. Anyway, so but one thing is for sure.
Rabbi is saying that they should go home and well, not whatever, they should do their research and everything. Is that a much better option than telling them I don't know the answer to go somewhere.
Well, I'm not finished yet. That wasn't what I was talking. I'm getting there. One second. I'm never tell them where to go. Listen like this. Okay. So I just slowly. I'm talking about something else. The first step I think is to from the very beginning, if there's a positive energy in the classroom, if there's a positive relationship, if they all feel that we're on the same team, so there's going to be much less. Never, there's nothing that's foolproof. There's nothing that's fail-safe. There's nothing that won't have exceptions and breaches. But it's much less. It's much reduced of people because they don't want it. They don't want to attack. They're not motivated. This is my friend, and my friend, they don't want to hurt. I may have problems. I may disagree with my friends. Friends can agree to disagree. Friends can disagree even without agreeing to disagree. But I don't want to make a public spectacle. I don't want to do it in a way. And certainly, if I ask that person, because this is what they were complaining to, if I ask them, I said, please, do me a favor. That's a very good issue, very important. I don't know, good. It depends if you think it's good or not. But it's a very important issue. It's a very important discussion I want to have with you. But right now is not the appropriate time for it. Most likely, if there's a positive relationship in the classroom, they will honor that request as long as you make the time and effort and, I would say, reach out to them that, yes, I want to discuss it. So that, I think, is the first line of defense.
Is that really so true? At the end of the day, most people who ask, like, all the big questions, they always are the first ones to scream out and have problems.
No.
In general, aren't they the ones that really want to be the captain of the team? They want to, like, overrule the teachers?
You're much less motivated to overrule your good friends. You want to overrule the enemy. You don't want to overrule the good friends. I'm not saying, again, it's not foolproof. It's not fail-safe. But it reduces it significantly. That's number one. Okay. Number two, if a teacher has... A teacher has to be very careful.
How do you do that? You said to make sure that you're on the same team and everything.
You have to be firm and keep a control of a classroom. A teacher also has to be perceived as a warm, caring, benevolent person. Because if you're not warm, caring, benevolent, you're a sitting target. You've motivated them to want to destroy you. But if you're a nice person and you're good and you show you care about them, you care about every aspect of their learning, of their development, of their school experience, of their home life, of everything. And you're a good person and you're kind and the kind souls. Now, if the kind soul is a Nebuch, lets them step all over them, that's something else. But a person can be firm, I'm confident, I know what's going on, and yet at the same time, I'm benevolent, I'm kind, I'm nice, I care. That type of person is generally nobody wants to hurt them. I would say in normal psychology, most likely nobody wants to hurt that person. There's always abnormal people. There's abnormal psychology. That's life. You can't help that. But that's what I would say. That's number one. Okay, but now let's continue. Secondly, I think another point that's also very important. The worst thing a person could do is to engage in, how do you call it, conflict, what do you call it?
A power struggle.
In other words, like, and how does that work? It's not just a power struggle, let me finish, it's a little more. And you show, they got you. You're getting angry.
It's a power struggle.
What? It's not really the right word. It's that I'm offended, I'm upset, I'm angry at the question, and I'm beginning to lose myself. When you see, and I don't mean to point to you, but when you, I don't know what you point to. When somebody sees, all right, when you see that this guy's losing it, that's an enticement to go in for the jugular. That's an enticement. No, am I right? Now, it doesn't mean you're going to do it, Cholila, but there's a natural craving. Maybe it's almost, that's why our similarity with the animals, and not because we came from animals, Cholila, but there is a certain animalistic nature that we have. I see.
Enjoyable.
What?
Huh? Enjoyable.
Yeah, enjoyable. There's a vulnerability. There's an opening there. Oh, I could. Oh. You know, come on, everybody knows. You got to admit it. We all have. Most of us, Baruch Hashem, we're misgaber on it, but we have to admit there is such a thing. So you can't show that weakness. And really, what it requires, I even said today in the session, which I think is very valid, I said, because they were pushing in this and what, I said, you know, the first thing a teacher should really do is learn Musa before they go into the classroom. And the Musa has to be something that, you know, there's a famous story with who was it with? With the Shagisari, I think. Shagisari was a kid, and he was constantly attacking the Rav when the Rav would speak and say Torah, whatever it is. So the Rav used to prepare his shir, and at one point, I heard this story, the Shagisari as a kid would sit outside the window, and he heard the Rav saying like this, if the Shagitz is going to ask like this, then I'll answer him like this. And if the Shagitz is going to ask like this, then I'll answer him like this. And if the Shagitz is going to ask like this, I'll answer like this. So then the kid pipes up from the window, and what are you going to do if the Shagitz asks you like this? Anyway, so, but we got to be prepared for the Shagitz. You know what I mean? We got to be prepared. Lemaisa, there are going to be altercations, there are going to be conflicts, there are going to be power struggles, there are going to be insults, there are going to be, and the worst thing is to respond in weakness. The best thing is to respond in good naturedness. In other words, you know, I'm not stupid. You can't even have a twinkle in your eye. I know what your agenda is, you know. I know. I don't know how do you twinkle your eye. I don't know how to do that. But I know what your agenda is. But, you know what, okay, listen, I'll be very happy. Maybe we'll even go out to lunch to discuss that one, you know what I mean? And something, and you diffuse the issue, but it can only happen if we're capable of not being threatened, of not being hurt, of not being insulted, of not being challenged, of not getting into a power struggle, of not allowing someone to get our, I don't know what the word is, to get, what? Not kishkis. They used to say get our goat. Yeah, that's, I don't know what that means. What? You can't let them get the best of you. That is something that's very important, and that takes a lot of musa. That takes a lot of realization, and it takes a lot of consciousness, and it takes a lot of focusing before you walk into the classroom. I would say that has to be mamish teich kedei dibur when you walk into the classroom. I know, and especially if you have a shagitz in the class, you know, if the shagitz is going to do this, then I'm not going to react. I'm going to do this. And if the shagitz is going to do this, I just don't say it too loud so the shagitz will start to say, what are you going to do if the shagitz does this? But this is something, I think, step number two, that this is something a person has to learn. And what?
Very forthright about it.
What's that?
To be very open and straightforward about it. In other words, the basic assumption of the children in the class is an adversarial relationship. The Rebbe's job is to get us to learn, the teacher, our job is to survive. They're basically, you know, two sides of a contest. And the rare case that it's so, you know, loving and giving and beloved, so then that's diffused. But maybe it's Kadai for somebody who doesn't want to rely on his enormous love and capacity to say right away, the basic assumption we know coming in is that you think that we are adversaries. It's my job to get you to lose. I don't want it to be that.
Let's try to That's interesting.
Let's forge a team. Let's tell me what you need. Let's.
That's interesting. Well, that's also an expression of caring. That's a positive expression. Yeah, that's, I like that. I like that. May I incorporate it in my curriculum? I like that. I don't know if you'll get laughed at.
Not necessarily.
No.
It could happen.
You have zero tolerance for falling into that kind of state of adversarial relationship.
Okay. All right, but, you know, what Yitzi is saying also has some merit, that sometimes when you make a speech like that, I say, oh, he must really have that weakness. Oh, he revealed right from the beginning what he's afraid of. So, I mean, there's always two sides. Listen, there's always a shagitz in the classroom. There's two things. There's always a shagitz, and there's something else that I think we have to keep in mind, and this is part of the musa b'spilus. This, and I say it all the time, I say it apologetically because I may be dealing with some geniuses here, but ruba de ruba, I've modified it over the years, you're going to have, if you're teaching in a classroom, you're going to have a kid there who's a bigger Balkishrin. He's smarter. He has a higher IQ. You know much more information, and you can deal with his issues, but he has that mineu bay. He'll get you something, a stira, that you didn't think of, because on his sophisticated level, he saw that this contradicts this from here and there and that, and, you know, so you got to be prepared for that too. And that sometimes to a Rebbe can be very threatening. You can't let yourself be threatened. Not only you can't let yourself be threatened, you got to let yourself be thrilled. Look what I was zeichet to such talmidim. And you got to know something else. And this is all part of the Musa that should give us the positive attitude that it's mefurish in the Rambam. I mean, I think it's mefurish in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Mi talmid al yoisa mikulam." So it means what? If I give a shir to talmidim, then I'm going to gain more than learning with a good chavrusa? Doesn't make sense. The chavrusa asks, or Shlokish was always asking Rabbi Yochanan, "Mi talmid al yoisa mikulam." But if I have to prepare a shir, I'm going to gain more. No, "Mi talmid al yoisa mikulam" means the interaction, the questions that they ask. The better the question, the more you're going to grow. And the emphasis of the Rambam says that. The Rambam says that the Rebbe grows from the questions. It says, Mefurish in Hilchos Talmud Torah, from the questions. That's the growth comes from. This elevation of the Rebbe comes from the questions. So we want people to ask good questions, but we got to be prepared for it. And we can't take it personal. And that's okay. That's all when everything is simple and legitimate. But what about the guy that's out to get you? The guy, what?
By the situation when we're supposed to say, let's discuss that later. How is it you're supposed to take away the kids' recess and discuss it? When else?
You'll find the time. That's not. I don't know. You don't take away. No. First of all, he wants to discuss it. So if he's interested, if he's not interested, so he may not come. But you reached out to him, but you should. What? Who?
You can use it as ammo.
What?
You can even use it as ammo.
Yeah, I understand. But you'll find the time. I know. You should not insist he has to come talk to you at this particular time. You're right. Because then you're just okay. Let's move on to just another. There's a few. Well, there's a lot more. But anyway, let me. What?
What about when the Rebbe's actually slugged up? Like this guy, it's like that one in a million, right? You finally have to ask him,
one of the million.
One of the million.
Okay, that's okay. Which is more likely? I don't know. But kids are like this. So now, first of all, that's another thing. You know, thank you very much for that, because that's a very good point. It didn't occur to me such a thing. But you're right. Yeah, but you're right. So there, I would say the following. You know, that should be your greatest nachas. Yeah, one second. Hold on. One second. You should take it as a compliment. You should take it as a testimony to the success of your learning, except if he does it on the first day. That's not the first day. You should find another class. But other than that, you're doing a good job. Look, you trained this guy to think. I'll never forget. It was one of, to me, the cutest thing. I used to hear all the years. You know, the Rosh Hashivas, Zichron Lebrocha, used to teach the Chevra how to think back and forth and arguing and this and always showing them and this. It was an amazing thing. It was completely interactive. It was like screaming and yelling it was like a battle, a war zone. But in the process, he was, you know, taking each person, what he's saying, and analyzing what he's saying, and showing him that, if you're thinking clearly, then you're saying this, but you can't be saying this because of this, and you have to fit, and what about this, and it doesn't fit, the whole process. And then there would come a point where the guys were so screaming and yelling and attacking, and he would say, of course, not seriously, he would say, "What do you want from my life? I taught you how to think, and now you're using it on me to destroy me." You know, that type of a thing, that you should be happy. You should be thrilled. You raised, you know, that's not born in Gidalti for Imam Divaim Poshubi. You raised Talmidim who now are so capable, are so competent. Now, I'm not sure you raised them. It could be the previous Rebbe raised them. It could be they were born that way. But at least it's an attitude that I could take to make it a more positive experience. I should be proud and privileged that I have such Talmidim. What do you want, a bunch of dummies in your class?
No.
Is that what you want? You want people that you can't even talk to? You should be very happy. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, but at the end, didn't I just give the guy ammo and now keep bombarding with questions?
No. A person has to,
he's looking to go.
Listen, you know, listen, there's two things. There's two things. There's two things. First of all, a person has to be able, I've quoted this many times, a person has to be able to say, "I don't know." That's what Reb Chatzkel Abramsky told me. He said that when they came the first day that he was appointed, the Rosh HaKol asked him a shayla. He said, "Echleisnish, I don't know." So they got all upset. And how could it be? He's supposed to be such a giant. And he said, "No, of course I know the answer. The first lesson that the Yidden of London have to learn is the Rav doesn't have to know the answer to every question. That's the first lesson. But the second lesson is that I can make a mistake. Human beings make mistakes. In fact, I'll tell you something else. The greatest chinuch that you could give them is this double-edged chinuch of, number one, people make mistakes and I could still remain the Rebbe. I still have the right to be the Rebbe in this classroom, even though I made a mistake, even though you schlugged me up. And number two, even a more powerful lesson, I can make a mistake and admit it. You know what a lesson in midas that is? Because the insecure or insensitive or mean or cruel or evil Rebbe will and also Shakran Rebbe will try to defend it when he knows that he's beaten. And what he will do would be triple barrel damage, because number one, he's lying and he knows it. Number two, he missed this opportunity to show them that anova. And number three, they see through it. And they see that his ego to him is more precious than the truth. And that's not a very good lesson.